the Tippecanoe Chamber Music Society starts their 2017-2018 season this Sunday at Fowler Hall, a wonderful program of Rick Sawash and Mozart titled Mozart et al. And their executive director and cellist, Margot Marlott, joins me.
Yes, the Mozart Horn Quintet is a piece. Actually, I've wanted to program it, and I've wanted to have Rick on the program again. He has played for us a couple of times in his brass quintet, and wonderful player. And then trumpet is going to be in a piece by Rick Sawash with Greg Kostraba, Regan Eckstein, and Greg's cellist that he works with often, Josh Airy.
Yeah, it's an interesting program because the horn quintet isn't five horns, which would be interesting, but it's sort of like a piano trio that's not three pianos. And so this is a really joyous music. I mean, it's kind of a fun piece that gets to show off strings and the French horn.
Yeah, since there are two violas, a little bit of an odd combination, but maybe not so odd if you think about Mozart. He was a violist, right?
Yeah.
So two violas, a violin, cello, and French horn. So since I had two violists on hand, I have wanted to program a piece by Frank Bridge, who's a British composer that I happen to like. It's called Lament for Two Violas. So that will open the program. And then we'll move on to the Rick Sawash, Sir Gawain, and the Green Knight for the trumpet, violin, cello, and piano with Greg Kostraba. And then after intermission, we're going to close the program with the Mozart.
Well, we're looking forward. We hope you will come back and tell us more about the upcoming concerts and look forward to Mozart et al. This Sunday.
Thanks, John.
Joining me in the studio is Greg Kostraba. You recognize him as host of Afternoon Classics and our content director, but he's on the program this weekend. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be talking with you as always, and a pleasure to be playing on this program with the Tippecanoe Chamber Music Society.
I wanted to start out and ask, how fun is it to play a piece that you've actually recorded? Is that kind of fun, or is there more pressure in that?
There is far less pressure than actually making a recording of it, because the recording process takes, I think in this piece, it took at least a day, maybe a day and a half, and everything has to be absolutely perfect. And the editor has to go in and make all those edits and make it perfect. So when you're making a recording, perfection is the goal. Keeping the musicality and all, you don't want to be perfect and dry, because what's the point of that? But you want it to be as perfect as you possibly can. In live performance, you can't be perfect. You make a mistake, you move on. You do things differently than you had done in the recording studio, you move on. And then you interact with the other musicians. That's one of the joy of playing chamber music that I just love so much, is that we interact with each other, and whatever happens, happens. And most of the time, things that happen are really good. So maybe after this performance, I'll listen to the recording again and go, why didn't we do it the way we did it on this concert? So it's just a totally, totally different thing. But I think there's a lot less pressure not to have to be perfect in a performance.
My guest is Greg Kostraba, and he's on the program this Sunday afternoon at Fowler Hall for Mozart et al. And a piece called Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, a Christmas legend for a violin, trumpet, cello, and piano. This has been recorded on a lovely Christmas release. And Greg, I read the notes, and it said he sort of had it in his mind as a film. Is it nice to have those sort of extra musical ideas that are going on? Because again, these are five movements and they're all based on the story.
Yeah, and what's interesting is these are really more vignettes than they are programmatic. It's not like, here's the story of Gawain. First of all, it's an incredibly long and complex poem, and to set it to music or to describe it in music from beginning to end would take hours. But what Rick does is that he has five kind of vignettes, the court and hunting scenes, and then that seduction movement, which has some sorcery in the middle of it, and then Gawain's journey as he tries to deal with the Green Knight, Gawain's humiliation and wisdom, which is part of the story, and then there's a movement about the Green Knight, kind of a musical depiction of him. A medievalist friend of mine described this poem as, trying to describe it is like trying to describe a cathedral. How do you do it? Where do you start? So Rick, instead of trying to do that, has these little vignettes, little scenes from the story and kind of musical depictions of the protagonists in the story. And that's how he kind of gets around that. So the five movements are really great, and it's structured really interestingly as well. You've got kind of a scherzo movement, and you have a slow movement, and you've got the big finale, the big finish. And it starts out like a lot of French overtures did in the Baroque era, with this kind of dotted rhythms, this big fanfare. So it's kind of an overture feeling going even back to the Baroque era as part of this. So I think it's a marvelous work. Rick's writing is very accessible. People can understand it. It's very inventive, very creative, the way he has the musicians doing things not only in their own parts, but as how we're interacting with each other. And it's just been a treat working on this piece. And I think people that come to the concert are really going to enjoy it.
I think it's pretty cool that it was written in 1979 originally. And so it was way before Game of Thrones sort of became popular and all the different things. But it's a classic story. And as you say, it's complex. But these little vignettes are lovely. We're about to hear it here on WBAA. But it's nice to talk to you, and looking forward to the concert Sunday afternoon.
Thank you. Looking forward to it as well. Appreciate the time, John.